Well, this is a Sunday where the kids stay in with us, and I want you to hear my heart. I like those Sundays. I don't mind a little extra noise. I don't mind hearing their voice along with mine. It's a sign of a great church when we have children's voices among us. So moms and dads, even grandparents, relax a little bit and breathe. The bad news is I have 4 points in a longer sermon than normal, but I made a decision a little bit ago that we're only going to do the introduction in point number one, okay? And that's okay. So what's your story? What is your story? Now, that's the man that we heard a story about, a man named Brady, and he had 3 kids, those boys, and then he met a lovely lady, and she went to heaven this year too, we hope. But she had 3 very lovely girls, and we grew up singing that song about their story. And I was thinking of Robin Johnston's story and the story of his life, the narrative of his life. And in the coming weeks, we're going to do a sermon series that I've done kind of a version of before, but I've kind of changed it a little bit. It's about the narrative of our lives, and how it ties with the narrative of Scripture and the accounts of Scripture, because... And I'm going to talk about this and unpack it a little bit for us in a little bit, but I think I think culture is trying to take the book that we have, that Billy Graham so famously, when he spoke all those powerful years, and Billy Graham, if you break down his sermons, they're not that great. But he always says, the Bible says. Just count how many times, if you go back and listen to some of his classic sermons, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, God's Word says. And it wasn't just a story, and that's point number 3. So but keep that in mind, that we're going to be in the coming weeks unpacking some narrative stories that we heard, some accounts that we heard as kids, and then we're going to be tying them to our stories. And I'm going to invite some of our leadership of the church to share 2, 5, 10 minutes of their story and how that relates. So we're going to go back to the introduction. And our introduction this morning, and first we'll read our scripture. All right, so it's, what is your story? It says, let the redeemed, and it's the NIV. I think the King James says, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And the psalmist, and it's not always good to get our theology out of wisdom literature and some of the Old Testament, but we can get some of it. But the psalmist, I think, prophetically was looking ahead to when Christ would maybe come, and he got excited, you know, he starts writing and singing probably, and he said, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And if you read the rest of that Psalm 107, and I'm not going to do that this morning because of time, but there's 4 other stories in there. And he says, some, as he goes down in verse 4, some wandered in the desert and the wastelands, finding there was no city where they could settle. And they were hungry, and their lives ebbed away. And then they cried out. And then you jump down to verse 10. Some sat in darkness and other darkness, prisoners of suffering in iron chains, because they had rebelled against God's command and despised his plans of the Most High. We all got lost. You know, some of us wandered. Some of us just sat around in darkness, didn't move. Some became fools in their rebellious ways, in verse 17, and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. Then some went out to the sea in ships, and they were merchants in mighty waters. They were living the dream. They were Wall Street bigwigs. They were merchants. They were trading. Some... And they found it empty, and then the Lord saved them. So let the redeemed of the Lord tell our story. All our stories aren't the same. Mason's story isn't the same as my story. Paul's story isn't the same as my story. Jared Ross's story isn't the same as my story. Robin Johnston was my CE professor before he was president of the college. And before Herb Frazier was president of the college, he's the guy who recruited me. And I've been a little bit embarrassed if Herb hasn't pointed that out to anybody yet. Herb has kind of let that go. So that's part of my story. I got calls from Herb, it seemed like, every day. Doesn't Herb have anybody else to call? I thought of myself up on the lonely plains of South Dakota. Now, I know this might be me getting a little surly and cranky in my old age, kind of a get-off-my-lawn attitude, but I think our society and culture, as we drift further and further from this story, from this narrative, from this account, from the Bible being God's word and having a place in our hearts and telling us how we can live our lives better and serve him in bigger and better ways, how we can live this life of faith, by the way, that's on the list if you want to put a check mark by that, how we can live. And maybe it should bug me more, but I don't want us to just take the Bible and put it in the class, the narratives and the accounts. Now, Jesus told parables and stories, and there are stories in Scripture, but there are things that that culture just wants to say, oh, those are just nice little illustrations. They're nice stories, and they're different. So throw my introductory slide up there, and I love this slide because, well, quite honestly, that's from... Well, one of them is what they think Noah's Ark looked like, and then the other one is a classic Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs, and that is the greatest unibrow in animation history. Royce's probably favorite character, and mine also. Not Royce, Royce Bryan, sorry. If you want to join the club, go ahead, but you know, and I've done this, you know, to my kids. What was your Bible story about today? What was your Bible story about today? And so David's triumph over Goliath becomes where the wild things are. No, it's more than that. David, full of faith and strength of the Lord, who killed the bear and the lion and defended, you know, he took Goliath on. It's not just a story and it's an account. The wise men and Goodnight Moon become the same when we say it's just a story. Feeding of the 5,000 becomes green eggs and ham. Say, oh, no, no, no. Well, that's what culture is trying to push us to. The wise men and Goodnight Moon. Noah and the Ark and Cloudy with the Chance of Meatball. Adam and Eve and the Giving Tree. You can tell I'm still reading stories to my kids. The Very Hungry Caterpillar and Jonah and the Whale. Our time, the idea of story has taken root. And the reason I do this is today I want you to realize, and I'm going to say some things, but I love stories. I grew up in a storytelling family. My closest neighbor of my age was over 3 miles away, I think. Now, Kay Unruh might take me to task on that, but I know it was over two. Darren Trocamoinen was 2.5-3 miles one way, and Debbie Williamson was about 2.5-3 miles the other way. But Grandpa and Grandma were a half mile down the road. Now, my grandmother was a high school English teacher and literature teacher, then later was the head librarian at Sturgis High School, Brown High in Sturgis, South Dakota. She loved stories. All right. In fact, sometimes behind her back, some of us cousins just numbered them. You know? She's telling number 6 now. The punchline is the driver has to walk, but let her have it. And my grandfather was a horse trader. I learned to appreciate stories. So I love stories. Hunters tell stories. Golfers tell stories. Fishermen tell lies. I mean stories. Grandparents have stories. Lots of stories and pictures. Now, we at HFC, we at Haviland Friends Church, the folks who wander the halls of Berklee College, we ask each other about our story. And when we get to that story, we want to go a little deeper than a shallow inch or two. When we say, hey, tell me your story, we're inviting people, if they're willing, to open up and go a little deeper, to tell us more about than just where they're from and what kind of weather they like and what's their favorite food. We want them to go deeper. So I'm not talking about that kind of story. I'm talking about the story where our story intersects with God's narrative, with God's accounts, how the account of the creation affects us, how Noah's Ark and that account affects our world and our worldview, how the Tower of Babel affects us, how Daniel in the Lion's Den affects us, how that intersects with our story. And so when we, the redeemed of the Lord, when God invites us in to say, hey, you tell your story, he's inviting us to draw water just a little bit deeper. And as people ask you about your story, and as you're given the opportunity to tell your story, and be careful with your story. Make sure your audience is ready to hear the parts of the story you think you're supposed to share. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. God's guiding hand as we cross roads with people. You know, Mary had a great story. Angels showed up. Shepherds showed up. Wise men came to visit. And says she treasured or pondered these things in her heart. She treasured them up. She probably told the story. But there's a time where we ponder, where we treasure. But the psalmist, looking ahead, I think, he looked ahead into the times in which we live. And he says that the redeemed should speak. The redeemed can speak. No, I think the redeemed must speak. We need to tell our story. The New Living Translation, speak out. The King James Version says, you need to say so. I was thinking about Robin Johnston and his story, at least here, ending. But his legacy and other things carry on. This week, middle of this week, on Wednesday, in less than 15 hours, 13 people were shot and killed in Chicago. And that was one of the headlines that came across. And I started thinking about that. Almost one per hour, their stories ended. And we don't have that problem here. But we can join with praying in our brothers and sisters across the country for that problem. We have people whose stories are being dramatically changed with new travel rules and how people are welcomed in and out of our country. Just 150 years or so ago, my mother's great-grandparents came from Denmark and went through Ellis Island. And I don't know. They were Lutherans. Some people think they're Christians. I suppose they could get into the country. It's kind of political. I'll get over that. But stories are affected. And as stories are affected and lives are changed and even sometimes shattered and shaken, the psalmist says, let the redeemed tell their story. Where we say, where our where faith intersected, where we intersected with Jesus. So here's our story. Point number one today, a true story, Scripture. There was a movie out, I don't know how, a decade ago, The Big Fish, and where lies and stories intersected this young man's life with his estranged dad. As I was growing up, and I know I didn't come out of my, I don't know when, but, and it might have been my grandmother's influence and my grandfather's influence up the road, but shortly after I figured out there was an alphabet, and then you could put those letters together into words, and you could put those words together into sentences, and those sentences into paragraphs, I learned that I love to read, I love the story, I love to retell stories. For some reason, Empire Friends Church, when I was in early high school, let me preach one Sunday. And of course, they're nice folks, and they told me wonderful things about how, you know. But I realized I could tell stories. I don't know if it maybe is a gift, maybe it's a talent, maybe it's both. But I get to speak to captive and casual audiences. I share my stories with. You're the captive kind. Okay. The casual kind are at the coffee shop or my own kids when I'm reading them stories. And I don't know, maybe I didn't want to be selfish, but Mom has slowly taken that over almost every night. I probably should start doing my thing again. But reading stories to my kids, I'm telling you all this to tell you, I love stories. I love stories, but I think I'm starting to feel like when we just talk about Bible stories, that I think culture is going to steal some of the authority of Scripture or try to diminish that. They want to put the Bible on the shelf with stories. They want to make Daniel in the lion's den a story, not an account. They want to make Paul being lowered in a basket outside of a city a story. Not an account. They want to make blind people seeing a story, not a narrative. They want to make 5,000 being fed a story. And today, I'm going to struggle because I'm going to talk for about 2 months on narratives and stories, and how our story and how folks from our church's leadership and just some other folks, how that story intersects with that. When something isn't true, and I never did like this, I probably got it wrong once. When something is just a story and it's not really based in fact, it's fiction, and the true stuff is nonfiction, I never liked that. Should have been the other way. If it's not true, it should be non. It should have a negative thing. But anyways, it says, you know, when somebody starts telling something, they go, "Ah, oh, you're telling stories again." And sometimes I think the world looks at us as Christians and they say, "Oh, you're just telling stories again." And so as we start to think about how we treat Scripture and its narratives, I guess I want to be one. I don't want to be an alarmist, but I'd like to raise a little bit of a red flag and say, let's not let it get put in the category of myths and mythology. Remember mythology? Fun stories, right? You can learn some lessons. You can get excited about some of the things that happened in the different types of mythology we had to read in middle school and high school. And they can contain some truths. You know, there's some good ethical lessons in mythology. But that's not what we have. That is not what we have. We have actual accounts. They're not just stories. These things actually happen. You say, "Oh, Todd, you are having a bit of a get off my lawn moment." I know it's mine. Let me have it. But I want to invite you to have it with me. All right? I think it's unwise when we say that the accounts of Scripture are just stories and the people that inhabited them are just characters. These people actually lived. So I think, again, this is a little more academic than the rest of the series will be, but I think we want to be careful. The Lord of the Rings, I'm a Lord of the Rings nerd, okay? I have statue bookends, okay? I bought the extended version. I bought the Blu-ray version because I like the Lord of the Rings, and it has great lessons for our lives. It has philosophical things. Its allegorical meanings are there. You can just keep picking at it. But it's not Scripture. It's not Scripture. Scripture is at a different level. So, you know, I noticed something. You know, I'm not going to say who. Somebody said, "I'm going to be careful. Whenever you get a stool out and sit down, hard stuff is coming." You guys, who took my stools away? I got no A game. So, no, I wasn't going to sit down. Some of you are getting nervous. He's coming down again. So, don't make me come down here. No. I come down here because I'm one of you. All right? And I always need you to know that. And sometimes I feel like I should just, you know, come and sit like Papa Chuck here and let him know I'm one of you. We all have stories. We all have narratives. One of the reasons I love eating at the cafeteria up at the high school or at the college, high school, I'm going to start eating there too. I'm not afraid to eat. But up at the college is I'm an eavesdropper. But I like to hear your stories, not the cleaned up versions always. But I like to hear your stories. I think Lauren may have a story to tell by his foot. All right? We all have a story to tell. We all have been invited into telling the story of our contact with Jesus, of our intersection of faith with the love of God. We've been invited. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So as we think about that, and we'll look at two more points next week, and then we'll get into some narrative stories in Scripture and how they intersect probably all of our lives, but how they might at different times intersect our lives. Would you pray with me? God, today I do thank you that I have brothers and sisters in Christ who have great stories. They have stories about grandparents or aunts or uncles or teachers or professors named Robin who impacted their lives for the cause of Christ. It's part of our story. But God, also help us to think about the great awesome thing that we get to hold in our hands or look at on our tablets or on our phones, and the Word of God, the living and active Word of God, that also contains stories of people and parables, but it also contains accounts of people who were there, of people who who saw Jesus, of people who had them look into his eyes, of folks whose feet he washed, who he looked down upon and said, "This is your mom now. Behold, today you will be with me in paradise." Accounts. God, help us to be challenged to live like we have had an encounter with the living Christ. God, bless these folks as they go. May they sense your direction. God, thank you for each and every kid here who's hearing Bible narratives, accounts in Scripture, and the people who are telling them that. God, thank you that they were here with us this morning in worship. May we continue to tell the narrative of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hug some people, smile at some folks, shake some hands. You're dismissed.